News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
807 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, and also from the Washington Examiner. And, of course, he's also got
the Mad trilogy. Jones trilogy on Amazon. Quinn, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks. Glad to be on with you guys.
So it was a tough Friday in Mobile, our sports world here in Mobile, with the passing of Henry Hank Aaron. And you wrote a really, really good article, Quinn, following Aaron's passing. Talk to us a little bit about what you wrote on Friday.
Well, like a lot of people, I wrote that that he handled most things with just incredible dignity and class, that he persevered despite a lot of hate mail, threats on his life, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing that I wrote is that he did a lot just by the way he went about it, of improving race relations. He didn't just suffer from bad relations. He improved them. And I mean, I said, look, I was a 10-year-old as he was doing his chase. I was in the South. I was in New Orleans. And I didn't have a single friend that wasn't pulling for him. Here in Mobile, I mean, you know, I don't know about the rest of the South, but here in Mobile, his hometown, as far as I can hear from all the stories I've heard, we were pulling for him, black and white alike, and I told this story about that I heard about Catholic girls studying catechism in their junior high doctrine class, in somebody's front room the night that he did it, and from the back room, completely forgetting that he's got some impressionable young teenagers out front studying God, all of a sudden they hear the father say, "Gee, bleep it, he's done it." and it wasn't an anger, it was in just jubilation that he had done it. And of course, all the girls bust out laughing and stuff. But look, people embraced Hank Aaron once they saw what a class act he was. And nobody was probably better made to pursue a record as revered as Babe Ruth's record than Hank Aaron, who would do it with such class.
You know, I wonder at what point, Quinn, and during the chase, and as the chase got more intense, as the numbers got closer and closer, you know, how low he was with the two things, how low he might have been with the hate mail, and how buoyed he was by all of the supporting letters. Because I read an article recently that the woman who read his mail said it was, yeah, there was hate mail in there, and not to dismiss that at all, but there were 9 to every 1 bad letter. There was 9 letters of encouragement to him, and that probably played a role too.
He was asked about that, and he said he really did appreciate the good mail, but that he couldn't get over the bad mail. He kept it, and he couldn't understand what he had done to deserve such hate. And just to put it into quantity, he set an all-time record at the time. In 1 year, he received 930,000 pieces of mail. Now, if that's 9 to 1, good to bad, that's still 93,000 pieces of hate mail or threats on his life.
Right.
So 93,000 is an awful lot of hate, and he had trouble getting over it. But he didn't talk about it until after. He didn't talk about the hate mail. He didn't say, "Oh, woe is me," while he was doing the chase. He just kept his mouth quiet, except, you know, when he talked about the game, he said the right things, and he just kept right on going. So more power to him.
And one great thing about Hank Aaron, of many great things, is, you know, a lot of times sports legends will get out there and do their thing and then kind of slink away after their careers end. Aaron was always accessible, even over the last 2 years on the Atlanta Braves broadcast. I think he kept an office at the Braves Stadium, so we got to hear from him, his point of view, after all these records were broken, and he even still holds some records in Major League Baseball, well over 3 decades since he retired.
Exactly, exactly. And although when he was growing up, apparently Mobile didn't treat him very well, like we didn't treat most people very well back in those days. But we really embraced him, and you know, once he started being who he was, and it's a great loss to the community. He was very revered here.
I've got a quick story for you that I told Dalton the other day. The day that Hank Aaron Stadium opened, I happened to see Hank Aaron there in the concourse. He was kind of being swept one way. I was going the other way. And it was three words that he said to me that I remember. I yelled at him, Hank, how do you like having your own stadium named after you? He said, I think it's great. Sorry, that might be four words. But anyway, I'll never forget the smile on his face and for him to return my, to reply to my question, how do you like having a stadium? I think it's great. Big smile on his face. So that was a cool memory for me.
Well, that's really neat. I mean, he was a class act, and he did express bitterness, but he didn't let the bitterness, you know, take over his life. And he did good things after he after he retired. Again, stayed active, just like you said, a real gentleman.
Well, a really good article from Quinn, and you can check that out at WashingtonExaminer.com. Well, that didn't take long, did it, Quinn? We're still not even a week to the hour that Joe Biden was inaugurated as the next president of the United States, and it seems like so many new laws or the return of laws that were passed during the Obama years, he got a lot done over the last 7 days, and not necessarily what conservatives like to see.
No, look, he made a very fine inaugural speech talking about unity, but if you're going to talk about unity, you got to back it up with action, and you don't then go and do executive orders, government by executive fiat with no legislature involved, that push very divisive cultural issues against the majority of the public's wishes. And that's what he has done, and shame on him. I mean, the single worst in my mind was the order on transgender people in scholastic circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Title
which
IX.
Means that biological males get to compete with girls, with our daughters and granddaughters, sisters, in sports, and that denies opportunities, denies scholarships, denies championships, denies the feeling of being a winner, all the good things for actual, real biological girls. And it's such a bad thing that Martina Navratilova, who is lesbian, who is very liberal, has come out four square against it, saying this is not fair to girls. This goes directly against what we want to teach our girls, that they can compete, that they can win.
Well, she was a champion, Quinn, among women.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it was not a slanted playing field. She had to beat other women to win her championships in Wimbledon and the U.S. Open and so forth. She didn't have the challenges of now.
Well, exactly. And the science, it goes completely against what Joe Biden says. You know, he kept every single speech. We're the party of science. Well, excuse me. But the absolute science is that even if you start taking testosterone blockers, the advantages of testosterone, of denser muscles, mm-hmm. of denser bones, et cetera, stay for a lifetime. So even after 10 years of being a transgender, acting as a woman with testosterone blockers, et cetera, you still have 15% more muscle mass, I think the number is, might be 20, some number like that. And you have, you still outcompete girls through no fault of the girls themselves. That's just not fair. It's not right. And the vast majority of the American public is against it, but Biden did it anyway.
Yeah, I've always thought that feminists would be the most outspoken against allowing transgender athletes into the other sports, but that doesn't seem to be the case across the board. We're going to run to the break really quickly here, Quinn, and then when we come back, of course, that's not all that Biden has signed via executive order over the last 6.5 days. We'll talk more about some of the other things that we're getting into or getting back into under the Biden administration.
And is Congress going to do like the NBA and go into an impeachment bubble?
Hmm.
That's what I'm wondering, too. They have to sort that out. Impeachment talk also with Quinn Hillier on the way on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig at 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. Hey, yo, good morning. It's Mobile Mornings. Dan Brennan with my brand new headphones on that Dalton says I wore to work, like along the interstate I was wearing my headphones. That's not true.
It's like a baseball glove. You got to break them in. Did you put those in the oven?
Hey, put my headphones in the oven?
Yeah, just like a new baseball mitt.
Like pull it out like a biscuit so it's nice and warm? 822 FM Talk, Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, The Washington Examiner. We've talked about a number of things today to this point. Where are we going to go, Dalton?
So, you know, we're still until about 11 o'clock our time, we're less than a week into the Biden term as president, and bye-bye Keystone Pipeline, hello WHO, hello Paris Climate Accord. When presidents, like the last three especially, sign all of these executive orders, we were talking about this last week, it's almost like one part of your family wants to go to Disney World, the other part wants to go to Busch Gardens, and you keep making it like a few miles down the road and then a new term in office and you head back the other way to get your keys at the house to go to the how do we ever get anything done?
You just described my vacation.
If we govern through executive order.
It's ridiculous. Back when I was working as a top staffer in Congress in the 90s, I had a file called simply executive orders, which was all of the arguments for and against the expanded use of executive orders, and I was firmly against the expanded use of executive orders, and you just described one reason why. It also goes against the intent and the spirit of the constitutional system. Legislation is, or laws are supposed to be made through the legislative process, which means through Congress. And granted, there are technicalities that make these orders instead of full laws, but it's wrong. It's not the way to go. And then back to Biden, the things that he has chosen to do are not unifying. He never campaigned on getting rid of the Keystone Pipeline, as far as I can find. He talked about being good for the environment, blah blah blah, but then he swore up and down he wasn't going to end fracking, and he swore up and down in Pennsylvania that he was still going to be a pro-energy president. And then he turns around and does this, which, by the way, hurts him with the unions, kills well over 1,000 jobs, drives a wedge between us and our friendly neighbors, Canada, hurts all the way down to Louisiana, our friendly neighbor, where they were refining a lot of that natural gas.
Right.
I mean, on and on and on. It's just a complete kowtow, bow down to the left wing. And then he goes, and here's one that nobody's paying attention to. Trump had issued an executive order, and this is the kind of thing an executive order is for. He had banned any further contracting with Chinese entities having to do with our power grid. Now, that's a national security concern.
Yeah.
Biden undid that for 90 days at least. He delayed or rescinded, what do you call it? I can't find the right word.
Right.
For 90 days, Trump's order, which means you got 90 more days for the communist Chinese to maybe do more stuff to get their hands on our electric grid. Now, what the heck? Is he thinking about that?
What is he thinking? What's the upside to that?
I don't know. I mean, he is already governing as far left wing as all of his Democratic opponents ran, and he kept saying, "Well, no, I'm the moderate, you know, and you gotta be reasonable, blah blah blah." No, these are left wing things. The rejoining the World Health Organization after even the New York Times, the big liberal New York Times, acknowledged that the WHO completely whitewashed China's role in the virus, in the coronavirus, and to rejoin them without demanding reforms, that's outrageous. I could go right down the list. He's governing like a hard left liberal, And there needs to be a reckoning.
But the important thing is that they were wearing purple at the inauguration and women everywhere wearing Chuck Taylors in honor of Vice President Harris. It seems like we're heading right back down the same road we were on for 8 years with Obama, where the press cares more about the optics and what's being worn and than actually trying to get the real news and how this affects Americans.
Well, I mean, the press conferences with Jen Psaki at the White House have been embarrassments. I mean, you know, every Trump press conference, you had Jim Acosta and company just snarling at the Trump press secretaries. Now, granted, the Trump press secretaries would tell fibs, but they came in loaded for bear. Here, it's, well, what's it like moving back into the administration? What is it?
Yeah.
How good does it feel to be, or does Biden feel after having wanted this for so long? It's just, it's like saccharine.
Yeah.
It's like, can I shine your boots, please? Pitiful.
A lot more talk about feelings now in the press conferences.
And how do they not see their own foolishness in the presentation of some of these questions? And I don't see how they miss their own missteps.
They are oblivious. They live in their own bubble. They're arrogant. And to use a word I hadn't even heard until about 8 years ago, and the first time I heard it was from Eric Erickson, conservative radio host, but the White House press corps right now is beclowning themselves.
Well,
it's
said.
Pitiful.
That's funny.
Just a couple minutes left here. I have to get your take on the impeachment trial. You need 2/3 of the Senate in order to convict. Assuming that all 50 Democratic senators will vote to convict, do you think the 17 Republicans they need will jump on board?
Got about a minute here, Quinn.
Probably not. First of all, they might not even get all 50 Democrats because Joe Manchin of West Virginia has said he's very skeptical. But I went down the list of Republican senators, and I could only find 18 that I could even come close to imagining convicting. I found like 8 or 9 that I feel pretty certain will, but I had a hard time getting up to 17, and I guarantee you they're not going to get 17 out of those 18 that I identified. So I think Trump is probably in the free unless some really bad stuff comes out during testimony.
And really quickly, with Senator Patrick Leahy presiding over the trial, will he have much sway?
No, but he will make it harder to get a conviction just because the Republicans detest him so much, because he's one of the least likable characters on Capitol Hill and has stuck to Shiv in Republicans way too often.
Interesting stuff. And quick in the timeline, how long is that trial going to take, Quinn? Give me 15 seconds. What's your take on that?
I don't know whether they accepted Mitch McConnell's proposal, but McConnell said there should be a week of briefs on one side and a week of briefs on the other before the trial even starts, and then the trial could happen in 3 to 5 days.
Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, The Washington Examiner right
and
there.
And get that trilogy, Matt Jones trilogy, on Amazon. And we appreciate Quinn's time with us. Now it's time to turn up your voice, 251-343-0106.
Love to hear from you. Also, that is the same line where you can text Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
House Democrats presented an article of impeachment against President Trump to the Senate on Monday night. A total of 10 House Republicans joined in with Democrats to vote in favor of impeachment. An impeachment is defined as to remove from power. More on yesterday's horrific killing in Indianapolis, Indiana. A teenager whose dad had just yelled at him for leaving the house without permission turned a gun on his family, killing 5 relatives. The alleged killer, who has not been named by authorities because of his age, was arrested Monday after cops tracked him down to the suburb of Plainfield, Indiana. His younger brother lived to tell authorities what happened. The Senate voted 84-15 to confirm Janet Yellen as the 78th Treasury Secretary on Monday. Yellen is the first woman to serve as Treasury Secretary. Previously, she was on the Federal Reserve Board from 2014 to 2018. Born in Brooklyn, New York, Secretary Yellen is estimated to be worth $16 million. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio. Did you know this station, this network, is looking for their next rockstar broadcaster? That's right, we are. And it could be you. It could be you interviewing the guests, talking to the newsmakers right in the middle of everything. Have you ever dreamed of being a rockstar show host? Now could be your chance. Together with this station, we'll help you with everything you need. The studios, the equipment, your own producer, a co-host if you'd like, and so much more. Broadcasting is changing. There's never been a need for fresh voices and unique opinions like there is right now. You can do this. Our professional team will guide you every step of the way. Sound effects, show content, building your social network media, and everything you need to be the next rockstar broadcaster. Get all the details. Email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. To get started with your own show, email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. Don't wait. You could be the next voice for America. Email Bill at rockstar.today.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly cloudy skies with showers today. We'll be warm with temperatures in the mid-70s. Tonight, showers with patchy fog, lows in the lower 60s. Then tomorrow, a few morning showers, then becoming mostly sunny in the afternoon with high temperatures in the lower 70s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
I'm Bill Riles. WKRG News 5 search and rescue crews are out looking for residents after a tornado ripped through Fultondale, just north of Montgomery. The city's mayor reports at least 20 people were injured. First responders from neighboring communities, including Birmingham, Hoover, and Mountain Brook, are in the area helping with the effort. A guest at a hotel says the roof of his room collapsed during the storm. A man who was shot in the Crossroads community has died. The Baldwin County Sheriff's Office says Chase Childress died from his injuries after he was rushed to Sacred Heart Hospital in Pensacola. Deputies found Childress when they responded to a call near Whippoorwill Lane and Highway 225. Around 4 Monday afternoon. Christopher Atchison was later arrested for the crime. He faces a murder charge. He is currently being held in the Baldwin County Jail without bond. The Alabama Department of Public Health is facing backlash over its handling of the rollout of COVID-19 vaccines. The health department hopes launching an online vaccine registration portal early next week will help. So far, the state has administered less than half of the shots it's received. I'm Bill Riles.
New Year's resolutions. We all make them. We all break them. That's why your small business needs more than resolutions. It needs solutions. And you can get them with Comcast Business. Whether you want to work more efficiently with fast, reliable internet and advanced Wi-Fi, make your business safer with powerful cybersecurity solutions, or stay productive with 24/7 support. We've got the solutions you need for your business to get there. So make this year's resolution better solutions. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Help your business bounce forward with an amazing offer from Comcast Business to kick off 2021. Get started with a powerful and reliable internet and voice solution from Comcast Business for $35 each a month for 24 months for 2 years when you buy both. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to ComcastBusiness.com today to find out more. Offer ends 2-7-21. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business 35 megabits per second internet and one voice mobility customers. Early termination fee applies. Enrollment and EcoBill and auto pay required.
Does a new building with a wind rating of 175 miles per hour appeal to you? That certainly is within our capability. This is Scott Armstrong with Kemco Metal Buildings. For almost 50 years, Kemco has been designing and constructing the highest quality steel buildings for our customers. Whether you need a building for commercial, industrial, agricultural, storage, church, or community use, or if you just want a Kemco building for yourself, please contact us. Kemco will use state-of-the-art software and our many years of experience to help you custom design a metal building that best suits your needs. Check out our website at KemcoBuildings.com or stop by our 40,000 square foot facility on Pollard Road in Daphne. We're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to give you homegrown service. That is KEMKO251-626-0594. Our goal is to exceed your expectations.
From the SpringHillToyota.com traffic center, still several accidents in the clearing stages, including Meadowview Drive at Cottage Hill without injuries, McDonald Road and Theodore Dawes Drive West, and also Schillinger Road and Adobe Ridge Road South. One at Spring Hill and Union with injuries, still waiting for the wreckers as well. Car Doctor at 5683 U.S. Highway 90 West in Theodore, they're open to help get your carts running. You know they rent their carts for any special occasion, or you could buy a new or used cart too. See them at CartDoctor.com. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. 343-0106. That's the phone and text line. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well. And, you know, I've been checking out the website here recently, McConnellAutomotive.com, and you have some outstanding new and pre-owned vehicles on the lot right now.
We do. I'm sitting here in Gene's office right now. He's on the website uploading pictures and stuff like that. We've got about, I think we're down to about 10 cars that don't have pictures. But if you see the car and you like it and you don't have a picture, please give Gene or I a call at 251-476-4141. We'll send you a video of the vehicle, and hopefully it can be your next fine ride.
That's right. Also, the body shop there. I know we have some bad weather moving into our area the next few days. The body shop is top notch.
That's right. And they are slammed back there, but they are the best in Mobile. I'll put Gary and the girls and the guys back there against anybody. And all you got to do is give them a call. They'll take care of all your insurance needs. The same number, 251-476-4141. And we're going to be sitting here in Midtown Mobile today on Dolphin Street, east of I-65. Going to sell a few cars and have a fun day.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Talked about Chick-fil-A. That's kind of independent story out of South Carolina, where in a little town they were having trouble getting the vaccines out and getting it all organized and everything. So they got in touch with the Chick-fil-A across the street and said, "We're having a little trouble organizing." And the manager of Chick-fil-A was like, "I think I can figure this out." And suddenly they were kind of humming like a fine-tuned engine.
Yeah.
Their rollout of the vaccination. That's one small town's story about bringing in private business.
Yeah, and they have the number one and the number two on the menu. Number one is the Pfizer vaccine, number two, Moderna.
Well done. So speaking of, just businesses involving themselves with a rollout, Walgreens and CVS hit a milestone earlier this week, completing the first round of COVID-19 vaccine doses administered at partnering nursing facilities across the country. Both companies had established the goal to finish the first round of doses by January 25th after being tapped by the U.S. Department of Health and Senior Services to administer vaccinations to high-priority populations. Mm-hmm. So that, in this case, was nursing homes and long-care living facilities. Well, guess what? Since receiving their first allotments in late December, both CVS and Walgreens have remained on track to meet their goal and have been updating the public on its progress. CVS said that it had already begun administering second doses, which are expected to be completed within the month. So just the efficiency of
private business that
understand the process maybe better than government does.
Huh, imagine that. Also, Publix and Walmart getting into the mix for distributing the vaccines as well. So we're seeing more and more companies jump on to help with this rollout. Also, we've been talking about the impeachment trial for former President Donald Trump, which is coming up. They said they'll probably get the trial started the week of February 8th. And Larry in Mobile called in this morning. That's what he wants to discuss. Larry, how are you?
Hey, guys. Two things. One of them, the impeachment trial is going to be what it's going to be, and I don't think it's going nowhere. My thing is the national news and whatever, they choose to show what they want to show, and anything that's positive that Trump ever done, they didn't show. So about a month ago, I just decided that I'm not watching national news no more. The only way you can hurt these folks, you got 70 million Trump folks out there. And if we choose not to watch national news, because that's like when they were doing all these, the Congress was doing their little deal with the impeachment here a while back. Schumer and him gets up there and talk, and they show the whole deal. But whenever these other congressmen get up there from Texas and some of these others and start talking about against it, they didn't show any of that.
Well, so, you're going to see Republicans that speak out in any degree against Trump. They're going to show them. I assure you.
Well, I watch local news in the morning times at 7 o'clock. I turn that channel or do something else. I've got a TV at my office and whatever that I have to watch the weather and stuff because I'm a business person and some 7 o'clock, I turn off the national news because I'm not going to support any of that. And if some of their people that buy advertisements from them figure all that out, which they're all in cahoots, the bottom line to it is it's going to hurt somebody down the line.
You know, you can turn off the national news. You can have the weather on the TV just kind of as a backdrop there and listen to Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on FM Talk.
That's what I do, guys. While we're talking. You now.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Larry.
We appreciate you, Larry. We understand your frustration.
Yeah, good call. You know, I think the most glaring media snafu, I don't know if you'd even call it a snafu, but this whole thing about the vaccine rollout and the Biden administration, once again, they've been in office for 6 days. Vaccine has been available since, well, I don't know, was it mid-December, December 14th?
Yeah,
I think that they
right
started rolling that out.
Right around there.
And this whole thing about about Biden saying 100 million vaccines in 100 days, when we've been averaging, and if my math is correct, that's a million vaccinations per day. We've been averaging that over the last week. And the media, they love showing the Biden administration saying what they said last week, that they were left with basically nothing and they'd have to rebuild from scratch with what the Trump administration left them as far as the vaccine rollout. We were rolling along. And there have been issues in states like Alabama. It hasn't gone necessarily as smooth as it could.
You feel like it's going to start to, and that was just a matter of the beginning of the rollout. It wasn't. Did it have to do with any administration? I don't think one way or the other.
How many people thought that as soon as the vaccine was available, that it would be available for everyone?
Like pixie dust, there it was, right? And that, so we knew that going in. Also, Biden spoke yesterday, and this is not the best outlook on the health of Americans going forward. Listen,
the prediction, as I said from the very beginning to getting here, as after being sworn in, was the predictions were we're going to see somewhere between a total of 600,000 and 660,000 deaths.
Where are we right now with the just over 400,000?
Yeah, we're in
the number you go
one,
by.
One I see has us at 411,000. Okay. I think a few have it just above that. So it's if his projection comes true, that's still a long way to go. You know, Quinn mentioned earlier some of the things that Biden was saying on the campaign trail, and people are acting surprised that a career politician is once again acting like a politician now that he's in office. I mean, he was pro-banning fracking while he was looking for the Democratic nomination. He gets that nomination, and then all of a sudden he and Kamala Harris, the now vice president, said, we don't want to ban fracking. We're not going to ban fracking. And then, you know, they get into office, and Keystone Pipeline shut down. I think they put a pause on the fracking on at least federal lands for at least 60 or 90 days.
Yep.
And people that voted for Biden say that they feel like they were kind of tricked, that he said he was going to do things that he's now not. And it's the same with COVID-19. I mean, what he ran on was that President Trump doesn't have a plan. President Trump is awful at this at governing during this crisis. And what did he say Friday, 4 days into his term? There's nothing we can do about this over the next 6 months. It's just, you know, politicians are going to politician.
Yeah, and the reality and of the seat itself. Now you are the president of the United States. Now what does it look like? You know, it's almost like you become an air. You are on the ground complaining about the planes landing, and then now you're the air traffic controller. It's like, yeah, this is a hot seat right here. This is not easy.
Yeah, not easy at all. Let's head back to the phone lines here, 343-0106, and Chris in Daphne. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Dalton, Dan. Great show.
Thank you, buddy.
A concern that I have to the point where I even sent a message to Kim Komando thinking maybe she had an answer, but with the censorship issues with Twitter, I decided it was worthless to me. I wanted to disable my account.
Mm-hmm.
I followed the instructions to disable my account. When I entered my password, it said, oops, something went wrong, try again later.
That's crazy.
Now, yeah, with Twitter, you know it. It's the number of people that log in, the number of people that they have on their account that pay for the ads and everything else like that. Well, if you can't disable your account, that means you're still on their active role.
Right.
You're helping them raise money.
I have been trying for over 2 weeks to disable my account.
Wow.
And each time it's, oops, something went wrong, unable to disable your account.
That is so stinking fishy right there.
don't you know it.
Wow. That's wild. I wonder if anyone else out there has been trying to do the same thing as Chris.
Well, you would think, because Chris probably represents, thank you for the call, Chris. He represents a lot of people that have been trying to, or have, disabled. Let us know if you've successfully disabled your Twitter account and what it took so mm-hmm. we can help Chris out and all of you that may be looking for the one less. It's almost like you got to talk to Kim Commander, like he was saying, to figure out how to disable an account.
Yeah, wild. That's absolutely wild. And speaking of Twitter, when we get back from the break, have you seen this new function that Twitter is rolling out?
No.
Fact Checkers Anonymous. Now, anyone can fact check your tweets. I'll tell you a little bit more about that.
It's
on the other side
of the break. Wikipedia, where you can change the page and midstream and just willy-nilly put your own facts in there. It is us. We're still waiting to see how much Devontae Smith weighs, by the way. Dalton's on that lookout.
Over under 130.
It's 847 FM Talk 106.5.
All right, wrapping up Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, 852 here on FM Talk 106.5. This segment brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you're wondering what they do, well, it's right there in the name. If you have junk that you need removed, just give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. It's a very convenient service offered by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And, of course, during this time, during the pandemic, if you don't really want to get into contact with anyone, you can just basically point at the junk that's sitting outside your house, whether it's your front yard, backyard, whichever part of yard, just not your neighbor's yard. They'll come and they'll remove it for you. The pricing is upfront. What you get quoted is what you'll end up paying once they take your stuff.
It's called the point and grunt package. They come out to your house and they understand, look, it's a pandemic. We can't be having, we can't be buddying it up and hanging out, high-fiving. You point, you grunt, mm-hmm. and they're like, I got it.
Yeah, and they also dispose of your junk responsibly. So I know some people would just take all the stuff they no longer want, take it out to the dump, and let it go. But that's not what you're supposed to do with all your junk. In a lot of cases, you need to dispose of it safely if it's some of those computers or old TVs. Well, 1-800-GOT-JUNK will take care of that for you, and they will also donate your donatable stuff, take them to people that can use it.
That's so really cool.
Set up your appointment today. Give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Show on fire. Jeff Poore's on the way. And Jeff, of course, just a great guest lineup and, of course, great understanding of politics, especially state politics. Dan Gaynor is going to give us a national perspective. He's on a little after 9:30. Also, State Representative Shane Stringer, he'll bring it down kind of back to home. State, that's in the 10:30 area of the show. Also, Jim Ziegler, 11 o'clock.
Ooh.
And Parker Griffith, always just a delightful guest. You may not be crazy about everything he says, but you cannot deny the entertainment level of the conversation between Jeff Poore and Parker Griffith, and that's at 11:30 today. And like I say, he sounds like he's on the veranda with a cocktail in his hand, and he's just kind of... So anyway, he's a guy that's been on both. He's been a Republican and a Democrat.
Double agent.
He's a double agent with the vodka in his hand. So Parker Griffith, Jeff Poore show starting at 9 o'clock today.
Getting some texts in about the Twitter conundrum.
I see that.
When you try to delete your account, apparently Twitter will not allow you to delete your account.
Imagine that.
That's according to some of the texts. Tony says, he did better than me. I can't even figure out how to disable it.
I saw that. Hang in there, Tony.
Leo with a life hack here. Dear Chris, start posting positive things about Trump and bad things about Biden. Boom, you're fired.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, so take that into account, Chris. If you want them to take you off, just start spreading conspiracies or, Leo said, start talking good about Trump and bad things about Biden.
Just disqualify yourself with the content and you'll be gone.
It's that easy.
Good idea.
Speaking of Twitter, I saw this yesterday. Twitter debuted a new feature. So every time Twitter comes out with a new feature, people want specific things, like the ability to maybe go back and change a typo in your text, and they have never done that. But now it won't just be Twitter employees doing the fact-checking, but a user-generated fact-checking system where users, you and me, will be able to add notes to other people's tweets, and they call this Birdwatch. So they've rolled out the beta version of Birdwatch, and for right now, when someone corrects your tweet, fact checks you, they will put it on a separate website, but they say eventually they plan to add it to the main platform. The director of the public policy strategy at Twitter, Nick Pickles is his name. He said that the intention...
Nick Pickles.
He was hired based on his name alone, I would like to think. He said the intention is to move the policy debate about content moderation beyond a framing of deciding whether things are true or false or not. What the heck does that mean? He said people on Twitter desire to be a part of the conversation. Yeah, that's the entire point of Twitter to begin with. The folks at Reason.com had a preview of this new Birdwatch. They said notes will be written by Twitter users who have signed up. The idea is to provide clarification. Participants could use a note to explain why a tweet is inaccurate.
Yeah, but look at your windshield if you want to know what birds are known for. There's your Birdwatch. By the way, Tony Sears, he says he's trying to put kind of insightful things, not insightful, but to incite Twitter to kick him off.
Yeah.
He's trying to put things, inflammatory things that they would find, and it can't quite get it done. So I've texted back to him, keep trying, keep us updated on what not quite got the job done. Like, what is he posting that we would think would be, uh-oh.
Yeah.
He's on the line now. And Twitter may be unaware of Tony's intentions of just keeping him on there. So
yeah,
that'll be fun.
If we think your tweet is edgy, then that has probably crossed the line for
you would
the Twitter.
Think.
Yeah, you would think so.
You would think, but Tony, he remains, and we'll call it a Twitter holding cell, where you're trying to get off Twitter, but you can't because they want you to stay on, so their roles look larger and
yeah.
they're able to monetize it.
That's awesome. Speaking of crossing the line, they have done a survey of all the states' worst pet peeves, like what each state feels like is the most annoying thing that people they know do. And slow internet is number one overall. That was the biggest pet peeve in 15 states. But Alabama's biggest pet peeve,
please,
burping.
That's not quite slow internet, is it?
Is that a huge issue?
No.
Is burping a real problem in America? 11 states said that was their biggest pet peeve.
I think because Alabama, okay, let's break it down.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the deep drill on
is
this.
Is Alabama a burping state?
Alabama is a burping state, and this is why.
Okay.
Alabama, whereas a lot of people have gone to the soft drinks or the Gatorades, the bottled water and things like that, we're solid with Coca-Cola. and Coca-Cola, even a little child, you'll get a burp out of them.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Maybe. I've got a 2-year-old and a 1-month-old. I live in the state of burping.
Kids are raised on burping in Alabama, as they should be. Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwig, and we've got Jeff Poore on the way next. FM Talk 106.5 in the morning, starting at 6 o'clock. We'll do it all again.